Welcome to Fresh Bread with Raymond McCulloch. Raymond is the former editor of Irish Christian magazine Bread and, with his wife Jerry, directs Kingdom Come Trust based in Northern Ireland. He has pastored and led worship for several years in Belfast and is currently involved in music and media production.
Hi, I'm Raymond McCulloch. Welcome back to part two of our new series, Fresh Bread, Your Kingdom Come, based on my book, The Whore and Her Mother, 9/11, Babylon, and the Return of the King. You'll find more information about the music and content of each show, and also a podcast of these shows, on our website, kingdomcome.org.uk. You'll also be able to read the first few chapters of the book for free there, or download the relevant prophetic passages. And you can read all the encouraging emails we receive about this and our previous shows. For example, Carrie Long, somewhere in the USA, wrote, "Congrats on your new programme. I love the old one too. You do excellent in all you do. Your writing is outstanding. In Jesus, Carrie Long." If you want to contact us, our email address is simply raymond@kingdomcome.org.uk, or just use the form on our website. Last week we introduced the book. I shared a little bit of my own background, and we covered the preface and introduction to the book. Today we'll make a start on the book proper. Chapter 1, Mega Babylon, Past or Present. That was Brian Boru's March from a band called Slemish from here in Belfast. Chapter 1, Mega Babylon, Past or Present. I've made it a point on a number of occasions in the past to study in depth the prophecies concerning the end times. These were written down by Hebrew prophets, and naturally many of their prophecies relate to the people and nation of Israel. But many also refer to events of international impact and importance. Events that will affect many nations beyond Israel, and some that will affect every human being on earth. In the fellowship group my wife and I were leading at that time, September 2001, the events of 9/11 brought a desire from many for information on the last days. What did the Bible say about these events, and what else did it have to say that was relevant to us here and now? In response to this hunger for understanding, we had to turn once again to a study of these prophecies. A few years later, I was asked to consider producing a series of talks for a local radio station and return to this subject again. Now, in the book of the Revelation, there are two whole chapters devoted to a description of a city and nation, which the author John describes as Mega Babylon, or Babylon the Great, also as the Great Prostitute. In the original Greek, this phrase was written in capital letters. Strangely enough, today we have adopted the Greek word mega into everyday English usage. We talk about megabucks, megacities, etc. Interesting, because the city referred to in the Revelation is indeed a megacity. So I have chosen to use the term Mega Babylon. Now the main target that stood out on 9/11 was obviously the World Trade Center, a center devoted to and controlling world trade. This immediately got me thinking, trade? Coming from the Northern Ireland evangelical Christian community, a bit similar to the Bible Belt in the USA, I've heard a lot of interpretations as to what the harlot of Babylon represents. Many times I've been told, with apparently great authority, that this refers to the Roman Catholic Church, or a mega-church conglomerate of world churches, led by and including the Roman Catholic Church. This idea has fueled and justified much anti-Roman Catholic bigotry in Northern Ireland. There are also those who believe that this refers to a rebuilding of ancient Babylon in Iraq, a project which Saddam Hussein actually began, incidentally employing a Northern Ireland construction company to carry this out. The 2003 US-led coalition, which invaded and occupied Iraq, has pretty much put paid to this idea, though some still hold on to it. Yet others believe the city is Jerusalem, the prostitute idea referring to those who have turned away from the God of Israel, which indeed is the inference, although it can also be applied to other cities in the city of Jerusalem, as we shall see. When we return to a study of these things following the events of 9/11, the main thing that stood out in my mind about Mega Babylon, as described in the Revelation, was that Babylon was all about trade. World Trade Center. Trade. Was there some kind of connection here? Why did terrorists attack a building dedicated to trade? Let's look at the description of Mega Babylon in the Revelation. Revelation 18, verse 7. Give her as much torment and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, I sit enthroned as queen. I am not a widow. I will never mourn. Therefore in one day her plagues will overtake her, death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her. When the kings of the earth, who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury, see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, Woe, woe to you, great city, you mighty city of Babylon. In 1 hour your doom has come. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, and articles of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron and marble. Cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and bodies and souls of men. They will say, the fruit you longed for is gone from you. All your riches and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered. The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out, Woe, woe to you, great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. In 1 hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin. Every sea captain and all who travel by ship, the sailors and all who earn their living from the sea, will stand far off. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, Was there ever a city like this great city? They will throw dust on their heads and with weeping and mourning cry out, Woe, woe to you, great city, where all who had ships on the sea became rich through her wealth. In 1 hour she has been brought to ruin. Rejoice over her, you heavens. Rejoice, you people of God. Rejoice, apostles and prophets. God has judged her with the judgment she imposed on you. This passage is all about riches, luxury, great wealth, merchants, ships, cargoes. In other words, trade. Are these not what the World Trade Center was about too? Now the revelation given to John is not the only Hebrew prophecy about Babylon. A number of prophets in the Tanakh, Old Testament, also described the destruction of Babylon. Of course, when these were written, ancient Babylon was the only world superpower. But the problem is that none of these prophecies, with the exception of some of those of Daniel, has yet been fulfilled. The prophet Daniel gave the famous interpretation of the writing on the wall. He was called into the Babylonian court to interpret the mysterious writing, which had miraculously appeared during a great feast for his nobles held by the king Belshazzar of ancient Babylon, regarded then as an impregnable city. Daniel's interpretation of the vision and the writing was that the kingdom had been numbered, weighed, divided, and given to the Medes and Persians. And indeed it was. They sneaked into the city that very night, after diverting the Euphrates River and entering through the water tunnel, killed the Babylonian king, and took over his kingdom. However, the city and its ordinary people were untouched, and the Jewish population was unharmed. Everything continued as before, except under a new leadership. The only people to die were a few of the Babylonian rulers. Nothing in the city was destroyed. Daniel 5:22. But you, Belshazzar, his son, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You had the goblets from his temple brought to you, and you and your nobles, your wives, and your concubines drank wine from them. You praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand, but you did not honour the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Therefore he sent the hand that wrote the inscription. This is the inscription that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parson. This is what these words mean. Mene, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple. A gold chain was placed around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. When I realized that none of the other Old Testament or New Testament prophecies concerning Mega Babylon had yet been fulfilled, I decided to collect all these Hebrew writings into one document, see Appendix A in the book, in order to focus more easily on their combined impact. The relevant chapters are found in Jeremiah 50 and 51, Isaiah 13, 14, 47 and 48, and Habakkuk 1 and 2 in the Tanakh, Old Testament, and Revelation 17 and 18. With some references also in chapters 14, 16 and 19 in the New Testament. These prophecies concerning Babylon speak of her complete destruction. If they have not yet taken place, was this because the prophets were using Mega Babylon as a code word for a city and nation that did not as yet exist? Were they referring to a future end-time city? And if so, can we now identify a modern-day city and nation that fits the profile of these prophecies? We'll return to chapter 1 in a minute, but before we do that, let's have a wee bit more Celtic music, this time from a Cork lady, Liz Fitzgibbon, and her song, You Are My Strong Tower.
You are my strong tower, and I run in to you. You with thee.
Why do I not believe that these prophecies have already been fulfilled, as many scholars and students of prophecy do believe? Firstly, the prophecies refer to the fall of Babylon as occurring in one day, even in one hour. Jeremiah 51:8, Babylon will suddenly fall and be broken. Wail over her, get balm for her pain. Perhaps she can be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she cannot be healed. Let us leave her, and each go to his own land, for her judgment reaches to the skies. It rises as high as the heavens. Isaiah 47:8. Now then, listen, you lover of pleasure, lounging in your security and saying to yourself, I am, and there is none besides me. I will never be a widow or suffer the loss of children. Both of these will overtake you in a moment, on a single day, loss of children and widowhood. They will come upon you in full measure, in spite of your many sorceries and all your potent spells. You have trusted in your wickedness and have said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and knowledge mislead you when you say to yourself, I am, and there is none besides me. Disaster will come upon you, and you will not know how to conjure it away. A calamity will fall upon you that you cannot ward off with a ransom. A catastrophe you cannot foresee will suddenly come upon you. Revelation 18:7. Give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, I sit as queen, I am not a widow, and I will never mourn. Therefore in one day her plagues will overtake her, death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her. When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and share her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, Woe, woe, O great city, O Babylon, city of power, in one hour your doom has come. The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out, Woe, woe, O great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. In one hour such great wealth has been brought to ruin. Every sea captain and all who travel by ship, the sailors and all who earn their living from the sea, will stand far off. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, Was there ever a city like this great city? They will throw dust on their heads and with weeping and mourning cry out, Woe, woe, O great city, where all who had ships on the sea became rich through her wealth. In one hour she has been brought to ruin. Ancient Babylon was overcome in one hour. The Medes and Persians, unable to defeat her defences by frontal attack, slipped men into the city, and Babylon was overcome from within. However, the city was not destroyed, as the above prophecies state. Only the Babylonian rulers were killed. The Jews, held captive in Babylon, had no need to flee. Indeed, they continued to live in peace and security under their new Medo-Persian masters, and later under the Greeks and briefly the Romans. The book of Daniel continues on, referring now to the new Medo-Persian kings, as if nothing much had happened. No great catastrophe, no destruction took place, and no burning by fire. Simply a change of government. In 539 BCE, Babylon became part of the Medo-Persian Empire, and the city carried on with life much as before. The prophecies of Jeremiah, Isaiah, and John stated that Babylon would be completely destroyed, but ancient Babylon continued to exist, gradually dwindling in power and influence until about 1000 CE, by which time the city seems to have completely disappeared from history. Many modern historians even doubted that it had ever existed, until a German archaeologist, Robert Kolduy, rediscovered its ruins in 1899. Babylon was not destroyed in one day, or in one hour, in 539 BCE. Secondly, in the prophecies of Jeremiah, Isaiah and John, there are many warnings to the Jewish people to flee from Babylon. Jeremiah 50:8, Flee out of Babylon, leave the land of the Babylonians, and be like the goats that lead the flock. Verse 28, Listen to the fugitives and refugees from Babylon, declaring in Zion how the Lord our God has taken vengeance, vengeance for his temple. Jeremiah 51:6, Flee from Babylon, run for your lives. Do not be destroyed because of her sins. It is time for the Lord's vengeance. He will repay her what she deserves. And verse 45, Come out of her, my people. Run for your lives. Run from the fierce anger of the Lord. Isaiah 14:1-4, The Lord will have compassion on Jacob. Once again he will choose Israel and will settle them in their own land. Foreigners will join them and unite with the descendants of Jacob. Nations will take them and bring them to their own place. And the house of Israel will possess the nations as men servants and maid servants in the Lord's land. They will make captives of their captors and rule over their oppressors. On the day the Lord gives you relief from suffering and turmoil and from the harsh labor forced on you, you will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon. How the oppressor has come to an end. How his fury has ended. In Revelation 18 verse 4, Then I heard another voice from heaven say, Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues, for her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. The Jews did not flee from Babylon in 539 BCE. A large Jewish population continued to live securely in Babylon until well into the New Testament era. Even counting their servants, less than 50,000 Jewish people, a relatively small proportion, returned to Israel during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. See Ezra 2 verse 64 and 65. Cyrus, the new Persian ruler, made a decree to restore the city of Jerusalem and its temple. Far from fleeing Babylon, they left with the full blessing of the Persian king, who handed back to them 5,400 silver and gold vessels, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had originally taken from the temple in Jerusalem. Ezra 1 verses 7 to 11. Even during the time of Yeshua, Jesus, in the first century CE, there were probably more Jews still living in Babylon than there were in the land of Israel. So if these prophecies did not relate to the Jewish population of ancient Babylon, what city are these Jews from who are being told to flee? This is a significant point, as we will now see, in relation to Mega Babylon. My conclusion is that these prophets were using Babylon, the great world empire ruling at that time, and having a majority of the then existing Jewish population living under its rule, as a type of a future city and nation, also having a large Jewish population, but which also fits the other criteria described in their prophecies. Habakkuk, another Hebrew prophet who spoke about Babylon, states in Habakkuk 2 verse 2, Then the Lord replied, Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets, so that a herald may run with it, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. Indeed, wine betrays him. He is arrogant and never at rest, because he is as greedy as the grave, and like death, is never satisfied. He gathers to himself all the nations and takes captive all the peoples. Finally, a significant proportion of the writings about Mega Babylon are contained in the Revelation, which was given to the Apostle John, imprisoned on the Isle of Patmos by Yeshua. He received this revelation many years after the death of Yeshua. At this time, the city of Babylon was simply a provincial town in Mesopotamia, albeit with a considerable Jewish population. The dominant power by then, of course, was that of the Roman Empire. Those who learned and studied the Revelation would naturally interpret it in the light of the ruling beast empire of their time, that of Rome. This interpretation has continued to be accepted down through the centuries, after the Reformation, being applied by most Protestants to the Roman Catholic Church. As no other world empire was in existence at that time, this was perhaps understandable. Today, however, things are very different. Rome has no temporal power any more than any other European nation, and despite many predictions to the contrary, the Roman Catholic Church really only has any strong spiritual influence over its own members, and that too has been declining in recent years. The Revelation chapter 17 verse 5 refers to Mega Babylon as a mystery. Does this mean it is a code word?
The drum that frightens the children. Don't sing your songs about winning and losing. Sit down beside me, the green fields are bleeding. Sing me the music of healing. Sing me a song of a lover returning. The darker the night, the sooner the morning. Bring me the news of a new day at dawning. Sing me the music of healing. Ah, the heart so wonder, stronger than the guns of thunder. Even when we're torn asunder, love will come again. Sometimes the truth's like a hen in a cornfield. You know that it's there, you never can catch it. All you can do is follow its footsteps, sing me the music of feeling. Who would have thought I'd feel so contented to learn I was wrong after all of my rambles? I've learned to be hard, I've learned how to tremble, sing me the music of feeling. Ah, the heart's so wonder, stronger than the guns of thunder. Even when we're torn asunder, love will come again. Vengeance keeps turning till each other's sorrows and songs we are learning. Peace is the prize for those who are daring. Sing me the music of healing. Time is your friend, it cures every sorrow. How can I wait for another tomorrow? One step today and a thousand will follow. Sing me the music of healing. So wonder, stronger than the guns of thunder. Even when we're torn asunder, love will come again. Ah, the heart so wonder, stronger than the guns of thunder. Even when we're torn asunder, love will come again.
Music of Healing from Rodney Corner and Jean-Pierre Rudolph, from Portadown and Strasbourg, respectively. Let's sum up what we've covered today. Is Mega Babylon past or present? Firstly, ancient Babylon was not destroyed in one day or one hour, but continued to exist undisturbed for another 1,500 years under the Medo-Persians, the Greeks, Parthians, Arabs, etc. Second, Jews were never forced to flee from ancient Babylon. Instead, the majority continued to dwell there in peace for centuries. Third, at the time of Christ, there were more Jews living in Babylon than in the land of Israel. And finally, the Apostle John wrote the Revelation many years after the death of Yeshua, so he could not have been referring to a Babylon, which by then was only a provincial town in Mesopotamia. So it seems clear from this that these prophets were referring to a nation still to be in existence at the end times, i.e. one that exists right now. Join us again next week for Chapter 2, A Present Day World System. Slán agus Banagia. Bye and God bless.
This series is produced by Precious Oil Productions for Kingdom Come Trust. For more information about the series, Bible notes and recordings of previous talks, check out our website at www.kingdomcome.org.uk or write to PO Box 200, Belfast, Northern Ireland, BT 23 7TZ.